If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
I'm so excited to have Will Klinger in studio with us. I have Michael Palasek, regular and favorite of the show. And Will, you've been on the show as well. When we had you in studio, I was not here with you. I was the disembodied voice from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
When you came in to do the Mark Roberts play. Was it New Country?
New Country.
It was great. Such a great stage play, by the way.
It was a heck of a play, wasn't it?
It was. And I always loved every single... I don't want to be quizzed, but I'm pretty sure I saw every single episode of Wild Chicago. So much fun.
I saw every single episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Did you really?
That was my thing.
Is that your thing?
Yeah, but I'm glad you saw every show of
all. Do you have a favorite of the Dick Van Dyke Show? Because mine is
I always used to love it when they would put on a little show in the living room.
I know.
When Dick and his wife, not Dick, Rob and mm-hmm. Laura would do dance and sing. And
I was just reminded of the episode where Laura is, she's not supposed to open that box. And she can't keep it.
She got to get into that box, right.
And it's this huge inflatable raft, Michael, that just, she's overtaken by this massive raft. And the reason I thought of that, did you see this woman who ordered the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
No.
The Ghostbusters, a huge inflatable.
Oh, no.
And she plugged it in, not realizing.
How big it was.
Yeah, it started to expand in her living room. It's this huge, massive 11-foot. So I just thought of that episode, but that's one of my favorite episodes.
That could also be a Lucille Ball stunt, too.
Exactly. Well, there were so many interesting and elements of Chicago that I didn't know about that you brought to life. Uh-huh. You know, whether it was the medical museum or, you know, the sort of the underground life that nobody knew about in Chicago. And now you're taking that across the country.
To a national scale.
Ah!
To the greater USA area.
Which is endless.
It's endless, you know. That's right. The potential is boundless. We've been all over the country.
Greater USA. Does that mean you're going to go to parts of Canada that consider themselves American?
Oh, that's
you
a
know
good
what?
Point.
One of the things we did this season, we went to a place on it's called the Haskell Library and Opera House,
uh-huh.
and it sits right on the border of Canada and Vermont. Why they build it on the border is a question mark. But apparently, there's a line on the floor of the library.
Yeah.
Where if you cross over, you're technically in Canada.
Without any papers.
Without any papers. But you could maybe, I said, if I cross this line, can I just declare refugee status?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And they said, but no, to get back out, you'd have to go back through Vermont to get out. You know,
of course you would.
Is there no entrance from Canada?
There's no entrance from Canada.
Wow.
You got to come across the line and then in the door.
You have to go through the security.
And there's a car from Homeland Security right out front to make sure nobody makes a run for it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just because you're trying to do your homework for high school, you got to go through.
Exactly.
And what kind of shows are at this theater that they're able to maintain
Homeland
Security?
And there's an opera house upstairs that they do mostly musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
That also has a line through it that you know, Canadian and American.
Right. Is there a physical line or you just know that's
where
the line
is?
There's a physical
line.
They painted it. Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I had 1 foot on either side of the border at one point.
What if you're a person and you're pregnant and you go to the play hoping that you give birth to an American
and you just
baby.
Lay down on that line, dual citizenship.
Yeah.
I wish I'd asked that.
Do you need writers for your show?
I'd love to know. I'd love to know that.
Well, that brings up a good point because everything has to be spontaneous. You have to be open to every single moment that is on camera. How do you prepare yourself for that? Just to be there and listening?
Yeah,
and willing.
I might have some preset questions. We got to cover this in my head. But usually when the camera starts rolling, I'm winging it and I'm working off whatever I'm getting back from these people. And thank God, for the most part, people are, you know, happy to play along and you know, rise to the occasion. Some people, we come in with cameras rolling and, you know, it's like a deer in the headlights. But some people, you know.
Oh, sure. I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody. It's surprising when you come across that, right? Because you get into this rhythm of everyone's a great topic or a great guest. And then you run into a wall and no matter what you try.
Yeah.
You want to put them in the best light and nothing you can do works.
There's a piece we did this season at the President's Hall of Fame, which is just off the highway near Orlando, Florida, for some reason. You'd think it would be in Washington.
The President of the United States
has a
Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame, I swear
to
God.
Is every president in there?
I was going to say, who's left out?
Every president is in there. Even Millard Fillmore, he's in there.
Wow.
And they've got the most amazing replica of the White House. But we go in there, and the woman, before we start shooting, we actually said, we're here. She looked pissed. She didn't seem like she was happy to see us. But the camera started rolling, and she became very charming. And thank God, I was like, this is going to be a disaster. But she really warmed up to us.
That had to make you, because that affects your energy when someone seems annoyed with your very existence.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to bring all the funny, if I have to do all the work, it's not going to be a good segment.
Maybe she was just stone-facing to negotiate for better payment or anything.
Well, do they do it for exposure?
Yeah, we don't pay anything.
It's PBS.
What am I getting paid for this?
Hold on a second. You gave me mustard, by the way.
There's a Wi-Fi.
I gave you Wild Travels mustard.
I have some Clorox wipes.
And I get nothing.
Here you go.
Clorox wipes.
You need to highlight it.
I don't need your charity.
This is from the Better Business
Bureau.
Keep
it to yourself. Okay. I don't need that.
The Better Business Bureau has some good swag. They've got chapstick and pens.
Did you want to offer some sticky notes?
Oh, yeah. We have some sticky notes from the Better Business Bureau our friend Steve Barnes.
I'll take those.
All right. Then hand those over to him. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yep. There you go. See, the fair exchange. So no one can hold us accountable for anything now.
That's right.
Done.
Now you can write a sticky note to remind yourself that you don't get paid when you come on this show.
And paste it to my forehead.
It's been funny when people will say, I'd love to come on your show again, but I'm going to require payment. And it was like, it was lovely having you. It was lovely to
know
you.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Have a good career.
Godspeed. Yeah. Craig, can we play another clip from Will's show, from Wild Travels? I know we just kind of pull them, right?
How about something from...
Oh, here we go.
There's something from the first episode. I think you got a thing from the Bug Art Collection.
The Bug Art Collection.
Bug Art.
All right.
You'll have to go to northern Vermont to see the work of 19th century artist John Hampson. But it might be worth the trip when you find out that instead of paint, Hampson used bugs. Thousands and thousands of dead bugs. You know what we're here to see, don't you?
You're here to see the amazing bug art.
Bug art. What year did John Hampson start making the bug art?
He started in the 1870s. Each piece that he made took 3 or 4 years. Collect all the bugs and then meticulously pin them or glue them.
Where did he get his bugs? Did he have a bug guy?
No, he was the bug guy. No, he walked for miles and miles every day with a net and a little bottle of cyanide.
He was a very patriotic guy, apparently. Here we have General Pershing.
General Washington.
Have these ever been appraised? Do we know what they're worth?
We've never had them appraised. You know, can you put a price tag on 50,000 insects?
Priceless.
Priceless.
Is it safe to say this is the only guy that was working in this medium ever? Did anybody else make bug art?
There actually is. Making artwork out of butterfly wings is pretty common.
That's just one bug. He used several. Yes. How did the Fairbanks Museum come into possession of these works of art?
Yeah, these came to the Fairbanks Museum in the early 1970s from the estate of John Hampson's daughter. In fact, they were shopped around to museums across New England and nobody else wanted them.
I find that hard to believe.
Isn't it? It's shocking, isn't it? This is one of our most popular exhibits. It has a cult following.
Who's got the last laugh now? Fairbanks Museum does.
That's right. And I would say John Hampson.
Where's the Bug Art Museum?
Fairbanks Museum in I believe it's in Vermont.
In Vermont.
St. Johnsbury, Vermont.
The Bug Art Museum. Now, see, this is the thing about being on the road all the time, Michael. Yeah. You've got to go. Now, I think you have to go through the list of things that Will has covered on his show, Wild Travels, which is on what days on PBS?
It's coming up. The second season re-premieres. Mm-hmm. This Saturday, 4:30 in the afternoon, and then Sunday at 11.
Okay.
Remember Wild Chicago used to be on at 10:30 on Sundays?
Yeah, it was late.
It was late.
I watched
now
every
it's
episode.
Even later. Now you're very late.
Yes.
You're somewhat late.
I'm pretty late.
You're pretty late.
Do your research.
This
pretty
is
pretty late. It's been called that from the beginning.
Really late.
really late.
But stay up. It's worth it. But anyway, our executive producer, Harvey Moshman, our cameraman, Dave Seaman, and I, the three amigos, we travel, you know, usually by plane and then rent a van and go. We were in Vermont for this thing. We were in Florida this year. We were in Pittsburgh. Holy crap, we went to a hilarious Inventors Convention in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And for some reason, a lot of the inventions were toilet related.
Sure.
Wow.
No, I think that there's room for improvement in the toilet area.
Apparently there is, because there must have been like 12 products that these people were pitching.
Did they have like the squatty potty kind of thing?
Yeah, like what needs were they trying to fulfill?
Was it the flushing type? We got a lot of questions about the toilet.
There was flip and flush. There was this one thing that was worried about kids missing the toilet bowl. Mm-hmm. So you put this thing on your thing, and it's like a funnel.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
I don't think just kids. I think that men could really benefit from something like that.
And you know what? We weren't allowed to keep that in the piece. PBS would not let that go.
Then here it's so welcome here. What else did you want to talk about with the potties?
Maybe because PBS was investing in it and they didn't want anybody else to invest in that idea.
Oh, maybe.
Here's another one that didn't
make
it.
I can see that on the side, by the way. Yeah. Just the slogan, PBS.com.
Something called Gotta Go.
Okay.
A guy that you put another thing on your thing that leads down to a bag, and you can urinate anywhere.
Okay.
Oh, that's great for like football games and stuff.
Right.
Long
you don't have to go
road
to an
trips.
Outhouse.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, so you can wear this anyway. And he goes, that's right. I'm wearing one now.
Sure.
And I said, so you could be urinating as we're speaking right now. I could be.
Was it only for men?
It was only for men.
Oh.
Is it only for like... number ones, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, hooking that up is more intensive. That's there's a lot
I'm
more.
Saying there's a lot of creative inventors out there.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
not
no,
put it past
I'm not
them.
Saying
not
it can't
that
be done.
Creative.
Yeah,
that's gross.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're judging me. Now we're judging me. You were talking about a funnel for people that can't aim.
No. It's all inside. It's in the bubble. It's all in the cuddle bubble.
Good.
The cuddle bubble. We're fine. More with Will Klinger and Michael Palasek. We'll hear some more of the interviews that Will Klinger has participated in. Has collected some great experiences across our country in just a moment on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
We're heading towards the flavor graveyard.
Right. This is where all the Ben and Jerry's flavors have been retired throughout the years, any that are still not on shelves as an active flavor.
Whose idea was this?
You know, I'm going to throw it back to Ben. He was a guy who's always up for celebrating our failure, so we're like, this is the stuff that just didn't work for whatever reason.
What causes the unpopularity? Bad taste, I suppose.
Yeah, everybody likes something new, but sometimes the combinations you try, you think that would be a winner. The sugar plum over here behind me, you know, it just doesn't work out. You tried caramel and plum, and it's just like, guys, it didn't work that time.
So there's a lot of trial and error, and sometimes it's error.
Yeah, undoubtedly. We've made our mistakes. Then this place up here is full of them.
You know, I think sometimes the name could have sank up, like Tennessee Mud. It doesn't sound appealing.
You don't think mud sounds delicious?
Turtle soup? See, that just doesn't sound right.
There were no turtles harmed in the making of turtle soup.
There were taste buds offended, I'm sure. Here's one that lasted only a year. Ms. Jelena's sweet potato pie.
Right, so you read the inscription. One potato, two potatoes, sweet potato pie. No one could appreciate it, so we had to let it die.
Do people show up here and maybe see one of their favorite flavors and leave something at the grave or anything?
Oh, it's not uncommon to come up and find people, like, you know, bowed down one knee, and you just check and like, hey, are you doing okay? And they're like, I just need a moment, please. Just a moment with my flavor. So, I mean, look, there's flowers right over here next to peanut butter and jelly, and that was a terrible flavor.
Not for somebody.
That's Will Klinger, the host of Wild Travels at the Ben & Jerry's Flavor Graveyard, as he travels around the country finding all the eccentric elements that you might not be aware of. I mean, this is a great way for people to discover America. You know, like diners and drive-ins, people, they use that as a way, as, you know, destinations, they check them off. I think that they should use your show as places to check off. I have to go to this.
Well,
that sounds
what?
Like a weird play.
If you want, if you're sick of the mainstream, if you, you know, get off the beaten track a little bit. And you want to see the weird underbelly of places like, you know, we could have gone to the Ben & Jerry's store. No, we went to the Flavor Graveyard.
Flavor Graveyard.
It sounds like you guys go to the places like you'll be driving down the road and you see a billboard and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting, but I don't know if I want to waste that time to find out that it's nothing. But you guys go there and see if we should waste our time, basically.
I
That's
like
one
that.
Way of putting it.
Yes.
Is that a positive spin? A horrible word of wasting.
Look,
that's a good show, but I'm saying like you guys.
Well, here's the thing about like, okay, South Dakota. Yeah. Right, the wall drug of South. I mean, you start seeing those signs. Have you ever been to the wall drug in South Dakota?
No, I don't know what the wall drug is.
What career have you had? What, you know, the road career. But there's a place called there's a wall drug South. It's
famous.
Yes, and it's like this old Western town, and it's a very strange, eclectic. If you had a chance, go to a wall drug. Because I think people kind of know it. They've seen the signs, but I don't think enough people understand.
Is the Corn Palace in South Dakota?
That's in Nebraska.
Wait, what? Patty, I feel like you've lived his show.
I may have. You know what else? There's a restaurant in, I want to say Minot, North Dakota, that had the best soups. They had like, it was the first place I ever had turtle soup. and like stuff like that. There are weird places.
There was an ice cream flavor that was in the graveyard, turtle soup. I swear to God.
Yeah, I heard them say that on the thing. That
it originated from Minot, North Dakota, I think. Yeah.
Is the Corn Palace made out of corn?
Yes.
It's a palace.
It's a palace made out of corn in Nebraska.
Is there a queen and a king of the palace, or is it uninhabited?
I've only driven by. I have to wait for Will's show to see if it's worth wasting my time there.
We went to another amazing palace, the Gold Palace of the Hare Krishna people.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
It's in the middle of the mountains of West Virginia. There is a Hare Krishna community in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia, who knows?
But
it's real estate values.
It's called New Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it features this amazing gold palace made of gold.
Wow.
And,
is all the furniture gold too, or is it?
Pretty much. I mean, the toilet is gold. You know, it's one of these things.
Wow.
And
But does it have a flip and flush?
Yeah, sounds like one of the inventions.
It does not have
a flip. That's why they need someone to not miss.
But did you know, I found something interesting when I doing that piece. Did you know why those people have the little ponytails, the bald heads and the ponytails?
No.
It's so that Krishna can grab their ponytails and jerk them out of the material world.
Okay.
It's
Has he done that?
Well, that's their god. I don't know what he's been up to, but apparently,
really,
that I never knew what that was. It's sort of an interesting little sideline.
Yeah.
By the way, before we move on from Ben and Jerry's Flavor Graveyard, you have a sugar plum story.
Was one of the names that was in.
And I can see chocolate and plums not working out as an ice cream flavor.
I went to go get groceries, some Trader Joe's, and I always text my brother and my mom to see if they want anything if I'm in the area because it's nice to do. And my brother's like, I want sugar plums. Or maybe we're going to Whole Foods. I was like, okay, that sounds weird.
Is he like a Christmas thing?
Well, he eats really healthy. And I was like, maybe this is
dancing in his head?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. It was like he was making fun of me. There are no sugar plums. That's not a thing that they sell at Whole Foods ever. He just thought that'd be fun. So I went up and asked the guy that worked there. I was like, do you guys have sugar plums?
He sent you on a fool's errand?
Uh-huh.
What?
He involved a half of the Whole Foods staff because we were like, I don't think we have those here.
I would have just bought some plums and a bag of sugar and been like, hey, good luck.
Yeah, I didn't get him anything. I guess it didn't exist. He thought that was
you
very funny
duped.
That I believed that. I was duped.
Hoodwinked.
I don't like that. I'm so glad I'm an only child.
Yeah, brothers
I don't have
do
experience.
That.
Do you have siblings, Will?
I have three siblings.
You do?
Older sister, younger brother, younger sister.
And are you from Chicago originally?
No, came from Warren, Pennsylvania. 15,000 friendly people.
Wow.
It's what it says in the sign. Welcome to Warren.
I thought that was coming from you, organically.
15,000 friendly people.
15,000 friendly
people. One rude guy.
And somebody spray painted and one real asshole. Can you say that?
You have to go around town you have to go around town going, is it you? Is it you? No, it's the guy who spray painted it, maybe.
It's the guy who really is really nice.
Outing himself on that. Yeah. What brought you to Chicago?
You know what? I was in Washington, D.C. writing direct mail copy, and I saw a touring company of the Second City.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's what I should be. I was right out of college, and I was like, I want to do that.
Hey. Yeah.
And I swear to God, I called Second City the next day, and Del Close answered the phone.
Wow.
No.
I swear to God, Del Close answered the phone and told me exactly what I should do. I should come and take classes at Second City. He couldn't have been more friendly.
Yeah.
People always thought he was a curmudgeon. He couldn't have been nicer to me. He's like,
got him on a good day.
So in a month, I'd moved to Chicago, and that was my career. That was the beginning of my career.
And this Friday, we'll talk about what's coming up with Mark Roberts and the Lost Pilots at the Annoyance Theater. I know I'm teasing everybody.
Oh, yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. My guest, Will Klinger, host of Wild Travels. Michael Palasak performing in Danville, Indiana tomorrow night at the Royal Theater. Go to royaltheaterdanville.info for more.
Of the many festivals we attend, none has a more objectionable premise than the one held annually in Fruta, Colorado, celebrating a barnyard accident that occurred decades ago.
Mike Douglas Chicken Festival started back in 1999 in a way to honor the will to live of Mike, the infamous chicken who lived for 18 months after his head was cut off.
My grandfather would cut the heads off and flip them over there, let them bleed out. My grandmother would start, do the cleaning, and then when he got done killing, he'd help her clean. They got down to the last one, they still had one alive, and he figured he'd see if it lived till morning. And it did. So the next day, started showing people the chicken, and everybody thought it was interesting, and then a gentleman from Salt Lake, he was in the business of doing sideshows, and he convinced my grandparents that they ought to start on the sideshow circuit. When my grandfather cut the head off, he either missed or whacked a little high, and he left the base of the brain stem and one eardrum. I still own the famous axe that decapitated Mike. Got it hung up on the wall of my shop out at the farm.
Mike achieved considerable notoriety during his short life, including this spread in Life magazine. He finally succumbed to his injuries when the eyedropper used to keep his tiny esophagus clear couldn't be found. And the rooster that brought so much inspiration to so many choked to death. But he didn't die in vain. His spirit lives on in the hearts and minds of all the citizens in this small Colorado town, whose slogan could possibly be, "Come to Fruta, it's a no-brainer."
There's never been any documented proof of another chicken that lived losing its head.
I don't even know. I don't know what to say, Will.
How do you follow the headless chicken?
I don't know how you follow the headless chicken.
I feel like some professional sports team needs to have that as a mascot. Like, that's an intense.
Right, it's not offensive to anybody. It's just a little bit dark.
He was really more scalped than beheaded.
Right?
Because if you still have your brain parts and you still have an eardrum, I feel like...
You barely have a brain part. I think it's just a brain stem.
But isn't that what keeps even us, like, breathing and blinking? I'm not a doctor.
It's just part of our brain. We can we can survive on part of our
lower
brain.
Stem part, right?
Yeah, like, and
that's
so,
why
and possibly make better choices in life with less.
But it sounds like this guy was like walking around and stuff.
Yes, he was.
Mike,
he was in a sideshow for a while. He made it, you know, sort of the circuit of vaudeville circuit with the no head. You know, so it must have been a hell of an act.
Yeah
that's impressive and of notoriety, no less.
Yeah,
I like it. Will Klinger hosts Wild Travels on PBS, 4:30 on Saturdays, 11:00 on Sundays.
And something you should note, Patty, is that we premiere this the second season. Starts re-airing this weekend, but then we skip a week because TTW has preempts us for some paid programming, and then so the second week comes back on the 24th of September.
I like to think that PBS viewers and WGN listeners will forgive the gap if week to week.
Let's hope they do.
We'll see.
Yeah.
They won't walk away. Hey, what? Not this week? they'll come back.
They won't be up in arms?
They won't be up. Well,
is there a place to watch the first season?
Are you having a viewing party?
You know what? You can't watch the first season. Oh. Although if you miss the second season, you can go to wildtravelstv.com and get it on our get on our website. But the first season, it's
gone.
You can't find it.
What? Yeah. Do you have access to it?
I do have access.
can you hook us up with your Vimeo password or something?
I don't know.
Perhaps you're sitting on a gold mine, my friend.
Hey, I gave her some mustard. What else do you want?
I do. I have Wild Travels mustard from the Mustard Museum. Where is the Mustard Museum?
That is in Wisconsin. I think it's...
Why don't they have their... you can go to mustardmuseum.com. Everyone can go to mustardmuseum.com and find out where... By the way, your website...
That was last season,
Is it still good? I think mustard lasts, right? It's got enough vinegar in it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just threw away some mustard that expired last month.
I meant to say the episode aired last season. This was from recent. Don't worry about that. That's fine.
Okay,
I
believe you will.
Mustard's good.
I don't believe
you.
You just throw it out the window.
They're just covering their butt, you know.
Expiration dates are just
they're just covering themselves. It's like the symptoms list on the pill commercial.
Yeah, the side effects
you're fine.
Do you think they're covering themselves, or they want you to throw it away sooner so you buy another one?
Oh.
Yeah.
So
I think the answer is yes.
I think both. Yeah. Yeah.
Why can't we just trust people?
Can I throw something at him?
Men, that's why. We know.
Can I throw things at him? Because he's just too sweet.
He'll probably catch it mustard.
And think it's a sport. Not the mustard. Actually, you and I have something coming up this Friday at the Annoyance Theater.
The Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts.
And Mark Roberts. Wow. Yeah, I know. It sounds so mysterious. Not like, these aren't pilots that like mysterious like the Bermuda Triangle.
It's not Amelia Earhart story.
Yeah. No, these are...
They were written and never saw the air, but they should have because the two that I'm in are hilarious.
They're very funny.
Oh. One of them was written for, Harvey Keitel, and Roberts told me when we were doing that play, he told me that Keitel's wife talked him out of doing sitcoms.
Oh.
She said, that's a bad career move. So that's the reason that pilot never saw the light.
Yeah,
of
Melissa
day.
McCarthy, her career is just going nowhere as a result of the show Mark Roberts created.
Girl.
Yeah.
Poor,
Mike and Molly, right.
Yes.
Poor woman.
Yeah.
How many pilots are showing?
There's going to be three of them, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And you're in two of them, right?
I am in two of them.
I think we're in the same ones. You're
yes.
in...
Well, you have to be if both of you are in two. I just did the math.
Math minor.
But we might be in different ones because there's three. You see?
Yeah, but if you're both in two.
Two. We have to at least cross at least one. It's like what's that? The
Venn diagram.
Venn diagram. We're in a There's going to be one magical one.
Yeah, we each have two circles. And at some point...
We'll come for that
Is this an Angie McMahon project?
Who's Angie?
Oh, man. Never mind. She thought of something like this a while ago, and I didn't know if it was this.
It's actually Mike McCarthy, a guy that
He's
used to be a writer out in L.A. Susan Messing's husband.
I took his writing class at I.O. It was really good.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
My old roommate took his writing class, screenplay class, and he did a pilot.
Uh-huh. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm wonderful. I'm just soaking it all in, man.
No, me too. I'm like,
I never had the patience.
It is a lot.
We just took over.
A lot of people. It's all right.
I just have so much respect for that. Like, there's so many people in this world that are like, oh, I'm funny, and even get to the point where maybe they write out 5 minutes of being funny and attempt that a few times. But to the wherewithal and the stick-to-itness that requires like writing something out and getting it to anyone to see ever, I would assume is very hard.
I think Michael McCarthy said that in class about the idea of sitting down to write a screenplay is like a very American, like, I'm starting a business without anybody interested in this thing at all.
Entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to take a lot of time.
Well, sitting in front of a blank screen or in front of a blank sheet of paper can be daunting for some people, mm-hmm. and other people see it as an invitation to create something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. And actually, in the script is an invitation for a whole bunch of people, the cast and the crew.
Yeah. And the production company to change everything you create.
You have to watch your babies be murdered.
Now who's the sinner?
Sure.
Don't
make
my
head hurt. Head hurt.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine. I've recovered.
Yeah, I never experienced it, but it sounds like, yeah.
I was just glad that I sold I had a development deal for my pilot for a sitcom, but I was just glad that I got to keep my core of my family. Everything else was changed.
You didn't
but that
have
was
to,
fine.
Like, kill anybody.
No, I didn't have to kill anybody. It was all fine.
Well, there's only anybody. One kid in the show.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, no, that's true. I had one kid.
You only had one?
Yeah.
Yes,
it's both of you.
No, but the idea was that the whole series for a long time would be that my husband wants to have another, and I don't.
Yeah,
so that would be that was kind of one of the running things. Is that like he's always like I want to get lucky, but I don't want him to get lucky. Like I don't want him to hit the pot of gold with another kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I'm taking the birth control. He thinks that we're trying to have another. Yeah, that was one of the running gags.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of manipulative.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least it was manipulative in that way and not the opposite way.
Where you're trying to have a baby
and you're like,
fun gender reversal.
It is. That's exactly.
That's a good call. Yeah.
That's what the series is about. I was the head of household. I'm the, I was the breadwinner and all, well, which I am. So that was, but so to our point about Lost Pilots.
Like, please be the breadwinner. Please.
There are all these great stories that are created and go a certain way, to the point of even like getting someone attached, like Matthew Broderick or Andrew Dice Clay or Harvey Keitel. And, so this is a great way to see what happens, what that story would have been or should have been.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing that at the Annoyance Theater. This
7 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Friday.
And people can go to theannoyance.com. There will be three pilots. Will Klinger is going to be starring as well as Tim Kazurinsky, Paul Lisnick.
Oh, wow.
Danny Rhodes, Mike Toomey, Patty Vasquez. Oh, that's weird. Kathy Garver, who played Sissy on Family Affair, by the way.
Oh.
Bingo.
Yes. Very excited. So
Frances Guinan, Steppenwolf actor.
There you go.
Wow.
Damon Royster.
I feel like this is going to be better than like the TV shows that are on TV. Like,
it all just gets to exist right there. So that
Andrew
will be
Dice Clay, eat your heart out. This is a better cast. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that like it's one thing to have a great story, but it does come down sometimes to who you can attach.
Yeah.
Like what big names you can have, and even producers. People were emailing me because Minnie Driver has a show called Speechless about a mom who is raising a child with a disability that is similar to my son's.
Yeah.
And people are like, did they steal your idea? No, one of the producers from Friends is his sibling has special needs.
Yeah.
So there is that idea of parallel experiences.
Yeah. And so his son stole your pilot.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah.
He wrote it. He's doing okay.
It's fine. It's all fine. So that's going to be the Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts this Friday at the Annoyance Theater. Go to theannoyance.com. But tickets are going quick. I don't even know. See how I corrected myself?
That was great.
Yeah. I know. That's because I diagrammed
it. It's always good to correct yourself. I feel like whenever I catch myself on stage, I don't just blow past it because somebody caught it and they're going to think that you're lying to yourself and the world by not correcting it.
Correct quickly.
Or that you're dumb.
Just blunt ignorance is safer for me.
Maybe that's more relatable. Maybe that's
I'm the common man who talks stupid.
Yeah. Do you correct yourself, Will? Do you ever find yourself correcting verbs or adjectives or adverbs?
I just blatantly lie.
Do you
and stick to it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is I think if you commit, that's really the.
When you did the show, were there a lot of takes involved, or was it just sort of like
for
a
while
the interview?
There's no second takes.
Oh wow!
I don't know if you're telling the truth or
but
not.
But you see, I then get to edit my own because I produce
Liar.
The show.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
a producer, so no. I get to go in the editing and I can cut out all the stupid stuff that I say.
Nice.
So,
are Wild Chicago episodes available?
No, sadly no.
Do you have a Vimeo account for that too?
You know, if you go to YouTube and go to Wild Chicago, you can probably dig up something.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But TTW owns all that stuff.
They need like an app.
Yeah,
you had some great co-hosts as well, like Cassie Harlow.
Correspondence.
Yes.
Cassie Harlow was a great one.
Mindy
Bell.
Mindy was fit, and it was always great to see her like in a national commercial. She's still working with the red glasses and the.
Oh yeah,
she's very talented.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to describe. I'm a big fan of Wild Chicago.
Remember Tava Smiley?
I do remember Tava Smiley.
She ended up being on a big soap opera, didn't she? Right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've bred some interesting talents.
I almost screamed when he came out on stage for New Country because I knew he was in the cast, but I was like, "He's that's Wild Chicago." Big fan. There's a lot of big fans. I'm sure that you get it all the time.
I'm flattered. I'm glad you reacted that way.
Absolutely. I didn't scream at you. That would have been... hold on. We're going to continue our conversation. Do you have a few more minutes?
Yeah.
You sure? All right. More after this on 720 WGN. That's Will Klinger, the host of Wild Travels, every Saturday at 4:30 and 11 o'clock on Sundays on PBS. It's here in Chicago on Channel 11. If people are watching online, they can visit the website wildtravelstv.com.
Yeah,
go check out all the upcoming episodes. They can't have my mustard.
I love that guy at Gatorland.
Oh my God.
He seemed like he was really happy to talk to you.
I don't know if I could. I would feel comfortable if someone told me.
Well, because how do they know that that's the line? Like, somebody obviously crossed it at some point.
Laws of probability. The math over time is this.
They have
is
an
the actu- mean
that guy has an
line.
Actuary?
Well, Mark went up for 3 inches past the line.
Man. And coming up on Friday, Will Klinger and I, along with a cast of tremendous tremendously talented performers, will be at the Annoyance Theater to read The Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts. And that's going to be, again, 7 o'clock at the Annoyance Theater. Go to theannoyance.com. I saw you perform in New Country, and it's such a, and I know we talked about this when you were on last, it's such an intimate experience. About 30, 40 seats fit into that?
Oh, no, there was like 60, but it was... like on either side of the stage. It was like the stage was between these two sections of the audience. So you were right in our laps when you're in the audience.
Well, and because you, obviously it's Mark Roberts' script, there are some very intense, you know, dramatic moments. And anything that throws... I was there at a night when someone's cell phone went off.
Across, you were there that night.
I was there that night. And I was so glad it wasn't mine. First of all, I saw the guy across the stage from me, because you could see people on the other side. Because for what we do, Michael Palasek and Brandon C. Price and Samantha, we all do live performances that are somewhat interactive. You can kind of, you can break.
You can work that in.
You can make fun of the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so.
Or
it was
Patti LuPone them.
Right. And it was because you can break into song yourself if somebody's take their phone.
When they did War Paint, I went to the first preview of War Paint. And I'll save my thoughts about it to myself. That's not the point of the story. The guy came out and, I mean, literally had an extra 5-minute speech about how, like, look, guys, I know it's all fun. I know we always say this, but, like, seriously, take out the phones right now. And I'm, like, I shot in the dark that it was because LuPone has had that issue before him.
Yeah. No, it's intense because it was a dramatic moment. I thought that it was the sound cue somehow, like there was supposed to be music in that moment, and then I remember
it went on for a while.
He didn't turn it off. Yes,
for like several, like it seemed like 30 seconds,
and it was an incredibly intense moment. Yes, I was there that night. Yeah.
Mark Roberts was not happy when we got backstage after that. I remember
it was still a tremendous performance.
Did he walk? Yeah. Did he go to all the performances?
He was in the.
He was in it.
He played the lead, and by the way, he's Jeff nominated.
Wow.
For best supporting actor. How they could call him the best supporting actor?
It would be the country singer. I guess the
country singer was the lead.
Yeah, that's the way I think that they would look at that.
Because he got Heath Ledger.
He got Heath Ledger,
like the Joker and the Batman. He was supporting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But man, that's crazy. I didn't know. I just watched that. That's bonkers,
right?
But it would be the same thing because they also think of it because it's such a wild character. It seems so, you know, bizarre.
Since it's not the straight role or whatever.
Yeah, he can't be the lead. Yeah.
Right. Right.
He's not the bright and shiny one. Uh-huh. He's kind of like
tall enough.
Well, and also I think, and it should be the way he enters the play. It should be obvious that he then becomes the lead character.
He takes over that show.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So your show, Wild Travels. What else can we expect? Do we know if there's a third season?
We don't know yet. Well, our real goal is to go national at this point. We want to get a corporate underwriting to take this show to a national PBS.
How do you go to corporations and say, hey, do you go door to door? Do you email? Show and say, hey?
You get a guy that goes around to, I think, pitch your show to various possible corporate
that
underwrite.
That guy sounds expensive.
Well, only if he's on commission. If he's on commission, then you're fine.
He's on commission.
There you go. So get that sold. That's the way you do that.
That'd be, so every PBS in like the country would have it.
And we've got PBS affiliates all over the country that are asking to air it.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's got to be paid for, you know.
Well, Will Klinger's show Wild Travels broadcasts on PBS on Saturdays at 4:30, on Sundays at 11 p.m. Michael Palasek also has a show tomorrow night at the Royal Theater in Danville.
Danville, Indiana, right outside of Indianapolis.
And there's a VIP.
Yeah, there's
meet
and greet, I think, at 5:30.
All right.
Next door at the bed and breakfast.
Well, make sure you go to royaltheaterdanville.info for more information. Yeah. Samantha, I didn't want to leave you out. Was there anything you wanted to promote? Because I know you guys are driving out early tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll promote. So I'm on a sketch comedy team in Los Angeles. It's a bunch of my friends from the Groundlings Theater there, and then a bunch of people from Second City IO and Annoyance here, who've since moved to Los Angeles. Our sketch team is called Panties on a Budget Comedy.
And do you guys have videos online?
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. We need subscribers because we've been getting a lot of great Facebook, whatever, interaction things happening. But then we've got to do YouTube now because we're getting a website, and that's exciting.
So everyone go to YouTube and find Panties on a Budget.
Yeah.
Other things might pop up, but look for Samantha's.
I play Ivanka Trump in some videos, and then a few other things.
Well, safe travels to both of you. Look forward to having you back. And you, safe travels, Mr. Will.
Thanks,
see you on
Patty.
Friday.
I'll see you Friday night.
I'll see you Friday night at the Lost Pilots of Mark Roberts at the Annoyance Theater.